Suggest that's a good place to be tomorrow morning, even if you do have something else to do. And because it's a special day, and I'm so glad to see all of you here today. It just does my heart good. As far as announcements are concerned, your prayer list is pretty well updated, but I could make a two or three additions to that. One new name is Mark Short. And some of you will know the family. He is the grandson of Herman and Margaret Short, who used to be members here. He lives in Indiana. He is at Cardinal Hill. He had a stroke. And Teresa has requested that his name go on our prayer list too. So, Mark Short. Don't forget that. Just a report on Charles Teeter. He may be going home tomorrow. Possibly. Not positive, but he's doing well. And the little 5-year-old boy, Tommy Kramer, had a stem cell transplant, and that is doing well. They're getting good reports on that. So, just to bring you up to date. For those of you who watched television and see the news, I know the name Maddie Horn will resound for you because she was on the television news yesterday. The East Jessamine Jaguars won the regional championship and in softball, and she was one of them. They will be going to the state tournament. So. And we're all proud of Maddie. We have some guests this morning I would like to introduce just now who are going to bring us some special music today. Phil Quinn and Deborah Cooley from Danville, Kentucky. And she's been here before. She sung for us before. And they're going to sing together today. And also with them is Phil's daughter, Summer, who's just a recent graduate of Clemson University. So I'm glad to welcome them. It's good to see them, even if they weren't going to sing. And speaking of singing, I still think I'm going to do my anniversary concert on June the 11th. So if you have you want to make plans for that day to be elsewhere, that's that's your privilege.
Hey, Brother Lee, I did want to mention, too, for everybody to pray for my dad, because he has another swallow test this Friday. And he worked really, really hard to try to be able to pass that, because he would love to be able to eat again. So, we'll just... November, yeah. So, everybody pray for him to pass that test on Friday.
Amen. He hasn't eaten anything since November 29th, so he's anxious. So pray for him to pass that test. Speaking of Memorial Day, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine your family and friends gathered around your picnic table on Memorial Day. And the head of the family is explaining, especially for the youngsters, the meaning of this holiday. But instead of reciting history, he says, I'm going to leave this family picnic, and I'm going to volunteer to give my life for my country. And from now on, Memorial Day will be about my sacrifice rather than about honoring veterans from the past. Now, who in his right mind would claim that a national holiday would henceforth be all about him? Only Jesus. Because Jesus said to his followers, this Passover feast that you've been celebrating for 1,500 years is not just something that happened a long time ago. All this time, its symbolism has been pointing to me. The unleavened bread of the Passover meal, my body. The cup of remembrance, my blood. The lamb that was killed so the death angel would pass over, I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. From now on, when you eat this feast, you'll not be remembering deliverance from Egyptian slavery. You will be proclaiming that my death is what truly sets you free. And that's why we remember him today. For he gave his body and his blood to free us. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to wake for a new day this morning to be here in your house. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to see another weekend, a weekend before we celebrate our freedom, and the people that, if it wasn't for those men and women that protect this country, that freedom wouldn't be recognized. And Lord, we also want to thank you for your son, Jesus, because he also gives us freedom from sin that he so choose to follow His Word and to believe in His Word and to carry out what He has planned for us. And Lord, we partake of this cup and this bread which represents His blood and body for us to have that opportunity, and we are forever grateful. And it's in His name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you for this day you blessed us with. Thank you for this church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you join me now in singing together hymn number 122, Standing on the Promises? Okay.
Standing on the promises, right by the King, through the eternal ages, with the praises, glory in the highest, our salvation. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.
Number 414 is our prayer hymn this morning. I'm going to ask that we stand while we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and then join in prayer together. Gracious Lord, we rejoice that you've called us together into a church, because by ourselves we often feel inadequate. We always feel imperfect. Our sins trouble us, Lord. We thank you that from the church we hear the blessed word of life, which assures us that our sins can be forgiven. And we can find fellowship with one another and with you. So we ask you to hear us today as we glorify our Savior who gave his life for us. As we also pay tribute to those who have given their lives to safeguard our precious freedom and made our time on this earth tolerable and even enjoyable. We come to you, Father, not because we deserve your attention, but only in the name of your beloved Son and our beloved Savior, Jesus. Amen. Of course, this is a holiday weekend, and we all know what it's about, don't we? I think we do. We know freedom isn't free. Or freedom is not free. Or freedom ain't free. However you want to say it, it's true. And that just means that we appreciate the service of the members of our military. And it states that the freedoms enjoyed by the citizens in the United States of America are only possible because of the risks and the sacrifice of those who serve in our military. Kelly Strong was a commander in the United States Coast Guard, and he wrote a poem when he was a high school senior and a junior ROTC cadet in Homestead, Florida, 1981. That was a year before I came here as your minister, a long time ago. But it's a tribute to his father, who was a career Marine, who served two tours of duty in Vietnam. And the poem I wanted to share with you this morning, it goes like this, and the title is Freedom Is Not Free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought, how many men like him have fallen through the years? How many died on foreign soil? How many mothers' tears? How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom is not free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wonder just how many times the taps had meant amen when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers, and the wives, the fathers, sons, husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom is not free. I just think that's a great reminder for all of us today that freedom is not free and that our freedom had been secured at great cost in human lives. I want to share with you a couple of stories from the internet. Now, these are true stories. Of course, they wouldn't be on the internet if they weren't true, would they? But these are true stories. Many years ago, Al Capone virtually owned the city of Chicago. He wasn't famous for anything heroic, of course. He was notorious. He involved the city in everything from bootleg booze and prostitution to murder. Capone had a lawyer nicknamed Easy Eddie. He was Capone's lawyer for a good reason. Eddie was a very good lawyer. In fact, his skill at legal maneuvering kept Big Al out of jail for a long time. To show his appreciation, Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, but Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family lived in a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all the conveniences of the day, and the estate was so large it filled an entire Chicago city block. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob, and for a long time he gave very little consideration to the atrocities that were being committed around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however, and all you parents will understand. He had a son that he loved dearly. And Eddie saw to it that his son had the best of everything. Clothes, car, a good education, nothing was withheld. And price was no object. And despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach his son right from wrong. He wanted his son to be a better man than he himself was. But with all his wealth and influence, there were two things that he could not pass on to his son: a good name and a good example. One day, Eddie reached a difficult decision. He wanted to rectify the wrongs he had done in the past, and he decided he would go to the authorities and tell them everything he knew about Al Scarface Capone. He'd clean up his tarnished name and he would give his son some semblance of integrity. And to do this, of course, he'd have to testify against the mob, and he knew that would be very costly. So he testified, and within a year, Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street. But in his eyes, he'd given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price he would ever pay. You could say, as a result of this true story, that Eddie's freedom was not free. He got free from the mob, but it cost him his life. But his sacrifice set his son and his family free. Now that's a good story. The second story is about World War II, which produced a lot of heroes. My brother fought in World War II. But one such hero was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier USS Lexington in the South Pacific. One day his entire squadron was sent on a mission. And after they were airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and he realized someone had forgotten to top off his fuel tank, and he did not have enough fuel to run the mission and get back to the aircraft carrier. So he notified his flight leader, and the leader told him, go back to the carrier. And reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to where the fleet was gathered. And as he was returning to the carrier, he noticed something that made his blood run cold. A squadron of Japanese aircraft were headed toward the American fleet as they sat waiting for their planes to come back. Now the American planes were gone on their mission, and the fleet was all but defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron and tell them to come back. And the story says he couldn't warn the fleet of this danger that was approaching. There's only one thing he could do. He had to divert them somehow. So he laid all thoughts of personal safety aside, and he dove into the formation of Japanese planes. His 50 caliber machine guns were blazing, and he charged in, attacking one enemy plane after another. He wove in and out of the formation that was now broken up and fired at as many planes as he possibly could till all his ammunition was gone. He didn't quit then. He continued his assault, diving at the planes, trying to clip a wing or a tail and disable as many planes as he could. Finally, the exhausted and the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Well, Butch was deeply relieved, you might say. And his tattered fighter plane limped back to the carrier, and he reported in and told what had happened. And the film from the camera mounted on his gun, his plane, told the story. It showed the extent of his daring attempt to protect his fleet. In fact, he had destroyed 5 enemy aircraft. Now that took place on February 20th, 1942. And for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. But his hometown would not allow the memory of this hero to fade. And today, O'Hare Airport in Chicago is named after this great, courageous man. So the next time you find yourself at O'Hare International, give some time to visiting the memorial there, displaying his statue and his Medal of Honor, O'Hare International Airport. And once again, we could say freedom is not free because it comes with a great price, and Butch was one of those who paid that great price so that you and I could be free. So what do these two stories have in common? Well, they both emphasize the fact that freedom is not free. It comes with a price. And the other thing, by the way, is that Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. Tomorrow is a day to remember and honor our veterans, those who've given their lives. I also believe we need to honor another great leader whose sacrifice is reflected in the cross that's hanging on the wall of this church. Memorial Day is a day to remember the ultimate sacrifice that many men and women have given to this country and to you and me personally. But we gather here weekly to honor the greatest sacrifice of all time, when a general in the army of God gave His life for us so that we could be set free. He was willing to sacrifice His life, and that gave us an opportunity to enter into heaven for eternity and to experience freedom here in this life on earth. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians that I think expresses what I'm trying to say. It's 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Each of us here today enjoys the freedoms we have in this country as a result of someone giving up their lives for us. But we also need to understand that Jesus willingly gave up His life so that you and I can enjoy freedom in the Spirit that we have. We probably could not worship the Lord in complete freedom like we do and like we're doing right now if it weren't for the millions or hundreds of thousands who have given their lives on battlefields over the years to secure and preserve our freedom. But we would not worship the Lord today like we are doing if it were not for the sacrifice of Jesus. We wouldn't even be gathered here. He gave His life willingly so that you and I could experience the freedom to pursue an intimate relationship with God. And that came because of His sacrifice. And I want to come back to the thought that I began with this morning. Freedom is not free. Freedom will always cost a lot. And Jesus was willing to pay whatever that cost was for you and me. We exercise freedom every time we pray, every time we read the Bible, every time we come together for worship services. I mean, we're free to do this. There are many places in this world where we could not do it. Or if we did, we'd have to do it secretly and fearfully. But the freedom we experience today did cost a lot of people their lives. The freedom we experience in the Spirit cost Jesus His life. It's an interesting comparison. We've talked about those who died in the military, but throughout the history of the church, people have given their lives and paid a price to worship and serve Jesus. All of the apostles died martyrs' deaths, except John, for their faith and their loyalty to Jesus. The Bible that I hold in my hand and that is in your pews is not free. It cost many people their lives. But we take it for granted, of course. We can buy a Bible any place, any time, and read it any time we want. I'd love to preach a sermon sometime on how we got our Bible, how we can read it in our own language. You would be astonished at the cost. We have some in America who take for granted their freedoms, of course, because it didn't cost them anything. But the freedoms we enjoy did come at a price. And the Christian faith and the eternal salvation that we are promised have come at an extremely high price. I think that all of us should have the mindset that King David had. He said, I would not offer a sacrifice or offering that does not cost me something. Now, your faith in Christ costs something. You didn't pay the price, nor did I. But Jesus did. Your freedoms in this country cost. They've been paid for by other people. Perhaps some of you have shared in that struggle. But what price are we willing to pay for freedom from our sins? Grant the promise of everlasting life. What will you pay for that? Paul had a suggestion, or maybe more than a suggestion. In the 12th chapter of Romans, Paul said, God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you'll know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to Him. He wants us to be living sacrifices for God. That's a high price. But it's not as high as what Jesus paid for us. To be a living sacrifice means I place the values of other people above my own. And I commit my life to living for the one who gave His life for me. It means, folks, that it will cost all of us something if we do it right. And that's why we offer an invitation at the close of each service. Because you might want to say, Lord, I'm willing to give you my life now. And we're going to sing hymn number 454, just the first and last verses of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, while we stand. Thank Phil and Deborah for blessing our hearts with those songs this morning, and invite you to come back anytime you learn some more songs. Of course, tomorrow's Memorial Day. That overshadows all the others, but it's all today is National Hamburger Day. I don't know if you knew that or not. And it's also Slugs Return to Capistrano Day. It's also Pentecost Day, the birthday of the church. So there's a lot going on this weekend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are absolutely overwhelmed when we consider how many lives our freedom has cost. And we are indeed humbled when we hear again the timeless story of how our Savior offered up His life to free us from the bondage and the condemnation of our sins. Help us to treasure our national freedom and also our eternal freedom. Help us to devote our lives to the betterment of our world and the salvation of others. We earnestly ask this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and our Lord. Amen.